Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Out of the gates and ready to go. Hot Mike with Hunter Withrow underway. The Tuesday edition has arrived. Glad you're with us. Outkick.com/watch is where you can stream the show live. We are also on YouTube. You can join us there to subscribe to the channel by searching out Outkick. John McClain will join us later in today's program. Dane Bradshaw as well from SEC Network. He'll help us break down the Final Four. Women's Final Four set. Jack, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Hutton. Excited to be with you on this Tuesday.
Yes. We, after the show yesterday, for the first time, I'm making sure I get home in time to watch Caitlin Clark. Normally, if I was on, I'll stop and see what's going on, right? Different yesterday with the rematch being Iowa and LSU. And as predicted, regardless of outcome, we get what we want. There is a fun game, entertaining game, post game. There's rivalry, race, good versus bad.
Depending on your perspective, right? I guess, yeah.
Yeah, well, on both sides.
Yeah.
And the reaction to the win or the loss, and how you perceive that to be. Chad, we got that. Everyone got what they wanted with Iowa and LSU in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, and namely, ESPN and the NCAA got what they wanted because it is a huge ratings draw for Caitlin Clark, any game she's involved in. And now that traveling circus moves on to Cleveland, Ohio, and the Final Four. ESPN paid $920 million to the NCAA over an eight-year period. That's their contract for 40 different NCAA championships. That breaks down to $115 million per year. $65 million of that per year is for the NCAA women's basketball tournament. Now, the NBA has long subsidized the WNBA. It's not been a moneymaker for the NBA. Maybe that's going to start to turn. There are a lot of sports in colleges across America that are essentially subsidized by the football program or the men's basketball program. This is just a reality of business. I'm sorry to Ole Miss's women's coach if this insults you, but that's the reality of finances with a lot of these sports. Women's college basketball is now turning into a profit and revenue generator. Certainly been that for Iowa and their university, and now it's becoming that for ESPN. The people at ESPN must be thrilled right now, because that's a steep commitment with that $65 million they're paying for the entire tournament. But they're getting the rewards of that now. You had 4.9 million people watch Iowa and West Virginia in the second round. You had 6.9 million people watch Iowa, Colorado in the Sweet 16. We haven't got the number yet, but I'm sure it's going to be enormous for that game last night, which was a repeat of last year's national championship game. That was the most watched women's college basketball game of all time. So bottom line is this. The bottom line is good. It's good for ESPN. It's good for women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark is a draw. And yes, we are here on this show to state the obvious. Of course people are picking their favorite in this one based on the racial line. It happens. You'd be foolish not to act like that doesn't happen in America right now. Is it right to do that? No, but it happens. People are doing that. So it causes division. It causes people to pick a side. Bird versus Magic was the exact same way in the 80s. It happens all the time. Caitlin Clark advances, and she shows why she is the best women's basketball player of all time, and it's becoming something that's not even that close. And Hutton, the last thing she has to do to cement it is go win a national title. And she's got a chance to do that now at the Final Four.
41 points, 12 assists, brought down 7 boards, 94-87. The final, and tied at halftime. I mean, the game delivered. And it Iowa got up big to begin the game in the first quarter. LSU comes storming back. Angel Reese ends up with, 20 boards in this game? A few blocks as well.
I think she had, 17 points and 20 rebounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's...
I know she's been playing on sort of a bum ankle, too, and still put up those numbers.
Here are the latest accolades for Caitlin Clark. Second career 40-point, 10-assist NCAA tournament game. All other players have zero. That's in any tournament, men or women. You've got the third career 40-point NCAA tournament game for her. That's the most all-time by any player. 9 threes, tying a women's tournament record, and she broke her own career high. The most career three-pointers in women's Division I history, 540 of those. And the most career assists and three-pointers in women's NCAA tournament history. Chad, she's fun to watch. You know, pulling up from where she is on the court and draining, and then doing that in the moment where you know they've been thinking about not just the loss to LSU and what could have been the title, but the post-game, all the trash talk, and she's Caitlin Clark's about that too.
Yeah.
She doesn't mind the trash talk.
A fierce competitor,
but to
Caitlin Clark.
To deliver on the stage when you get that one moment in the final game against Angel Reese and LSU, and we mentioned yesterday it's Iowa-LSU, but it's really Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese, even though Reese isn't pulling the assignment of defending her. That's the clutch aspect that makes her great. You know, you can have the different moments of the NCAA tournament. You have the Cinderella moments. You have Golkey, for instance, who comes off the bench and hits 10 threes against Kentucky. But to do it on a consistent basis and to do it on the stage, that takes you from good to great and from great to elite. And she's got that. When all eyes are on her, she's doing that. Props.
Yeah, and look, coming through in the biggest moments is absolutely in the fabric of the DNA of players that are elite and some of the greatest of all time. And she's done that once again with this performance. 41 points, 7 rebounds, 12 assists, 9 for 20 from 3. To win a national title now, they're going to have to go through UConn and likely
next.
South Carolina, who's undefeated. So dethroning Angel Reese and LSU after all the trash talk a year ago.
Right.
And having that performance is enormous. But if she's able to beat Geno Auriemma and Paige Beckers in UConn and then beat undefeated South Carolina and give them their only loss of the season on a Tuesday night in a national championship game, they will write folk songs about this girl in Iowa. I mean, that is the stuff. It's already the stuff of legend. I watched a video last night. Someone sent me of a mashup of Pistol Pete in college next to Caitlin Clark and some of the same ball handling and passes behind the back, hitting girls in the face with the ball, not ready for it,
yeah.
That would have had a layup. I mean, almost ahead of her time in a lot of ways, the same way that Pistol Pete was. Last night, there were some bad passes, too, some careless passes, but I was blown away by her passing ability at times. The full court heaves all the way down the court to someone for a streaking layup. She's incredible. It's a lot of fun to watch, and I mean, we get into the culture war part of it because it's just unfortunately a reality of everything in America right now. But my takeaway is not what's wrong with our country when I watch Caitlin Clark. My takeaway is pure joy. I am purely happy when I watch her play basketball. It is fun to watch.
Are you describing an NBA player?
With her?
Yeah.
Steph Curry?
No, with Caitlin Clark.
Michael Jordan?
No, I'm saying, do you see an NBA player in Caitlin Clark?
Oh, yeah. No, I do not. There's one person that does, though, right?
Yeah, so Ice Cube offered the $5 million contract to Caitlin Clark last week to join the Big Three League. And we went through and dissected, the three-on-three half court and the size difference compared to Caitlin Clark for even the Big Three League.
This was a Big Three comparison.
Right.
Not the NBA.
Well,
just to be clear as we set this up.
She's 5'10", roughly, 155 pounds, Caitlin Clark. She drains threes from all over the place. Rob Parker believes that, don't put boundaries. He's on board with
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller. Don't put boundaries on Caitlin Clark. Rob Parker of The Odd Couple, with an odd take, along with Chris Broussard, who's thinking, man, what are you saying?
I am convinced that Caitlin Clark should play for an NBA team, Chris, not a WNBA team, And I want to say this before you poo-poo me or before you tell me I'm a sugar, I'm crazy.
You beyond a sugar.
Okay?
She ain't good enough.
Hold on. Let me say this. Period. This ain't no stunt like Eddie Goodell.
It must be, because you should know. You've covered the NBA. She good enough to play in the NBA?
Yes, she is. And I'm going to tell you why.
Embarrassed.
This is not Eddie Goodell with the White Sox, Christian. Remember they had the small person who gave up the bat and they tried to get him to walk every at bat? This is not that.
Well, of course
this is not a sideshow. This is not the bearded lady at the circus. This is not what it could be. The NBA right now is so soft as far as physical play. They allow almost anyone to just take three-point shots. And I believe, I really do, that she could put up threes in this man's NBA. This is not 2004. This is not the 90s, Chris. This is an NBA where the three ball is open. It's open to be had. And if you have players and you set her up somewhere.
Why is it Jimmer Fredette in the NBA?
Because he can't play. He's not the all-time leading scorer.
He's better than Caitlin Clark.
He's not the all-time leading scorer. We just saw Steph Curry go up against a female in a three-point shooting contest, right?
It's not about skills. Chris, it's about athleticism. It's about size. It's about strength. This is embarrassing for you.
Yeah. That seems very manufactured to me.
There was almost like a glimmer in his eye and a smile as he started to say it.
I know.
Where I feel like this was something intentionally said that was really stupid.
It's got to be.
To get clicks and to get people to play it on their show and to get people to respond to it. I can't imagine Rob Parker actually believes what he's saying. I think he's trying to make a joke about the lack of defense in the NBA by claiming Caitlin Clark could play in the NBA. But the problem with him doing this is people are going to think that this is legit, and then they're going to use it as ammo for their argument that, oh, you know, men and women physically and athletically are the same, and Caitlin Clark is the greatest women's player of all time in college and the leading scorer, could absolutely make an NBA roster.
And comparing it to a three-point shooting contest.
Yeah, Chris Broussard brings up Jimmer Fredette. Jimmer Fredette is 6'3". 6'3". Great three-point shooter. He's probably 200. I'm going to look it up right here. 220 pounds.
Okay.
Okay, she is...
70-pound difference.
154 pounds at 5'11", maybe 6 feet, probably more like 5'10".
Jimmer Fredette is 70 pounds heavy.
Here would also be my question for Rob Parker. Who is she guarding?
Right.
I mean, who are you matching up and saying, Caitlin, go guard
he's saying there is no defense. 6'5
point guard?
He's saying there is no defense. I mean, he's viewing it from the all-star game level.
Yeah,
a sideshow.
Could she maybe score a three because someone doesn't pick her up before half court?
She can hit a three, yes.
And she hits a half quarter?
She can hit a three.
Or she shoots a three from
threes,
D because she's not being covered? But also, could any NBA guard just decide, Caitlin Clark will not score in this game, and make it their life's mission to defend her 94 feet and hold her from scoring? Yes. The answer is yes. If an NBA player decided, I'm going to pick Caitlin Clark up full court, and I'm not going to let her score, they could do that.
Was it B.J. Armstrong? Who was it in the Last Dance that said that they had a great first half or a great first quarter and talked trash to Jordan, and Jordan said, you're not going to score again?
Yeah, it was, as B.J. Armstrong famously said in the documentary, he said, you know, I had a moment. I had my moment, and Michael wasn't going to let me have another moment. He hit a game winner. He hit a shot for the Hornets.
Okay.
With like 5 seconds left, and he started talking trash to the Bulls bench, and they won game one in Chicago of a playoff series. And that's the next cutaway shot was Jordan with a baseball bat in the locker room smoking a cigar and looking like a crazy person talking about how no one's going to do anything to them ever again. And he shut BJ down from that point
forward. You're saying Cade Cunningham in the NBA would do that.
Cade Cunningham could pick up Caitlin Clark full court. And I love Caitlin Clark. And I hate
that. Of course.
I hate that Rob Parker says something stupid, and now the conversation has to be about how much better men are at basketball physically than women, but this is the reality of the situation. She would not score a basket if an NBA player decided she was not going to score a basket.
Her fiancé, is it right? Her fiancé works for the Pacers?
Yep. Connor McCaffrey.
Rob Parker is saying that she should be playing for the Pacers instead of the fever.
That is what, and it's not a circus, not a sideshow.
Not a sideshow.
This is not Bill Veeck. This is not, you know, the little person or the little human or however they described it, they put into bat to walk every time. This is legit from him.
Right now, the Detroit Pistons, the Washington Wizards, you mentioned the Hornets, they're right there, the Hornets, and the San Antonio Spurs have the worst records in the association. Maybe Popovich brings in Caitlin Clark like Becky Hammon.
It's just so stupid.
To play with Wimby.
I mean, her in the big three was dumb enough, but it was a good promotional publicity stunt by Ice Cube to throw that out there, even though she's not going to do it. But this is just ludicrous. And I'm as down on the NBA as anyone and the lack of defense that's played and everything else. But to think that Caitlin Clark deserves a spot over a lot of men who have played the game in college at a high level in the NBA is insane. Let's just enjoy the greatness we're watching in the women's game. Women, here's a novel concept, right?
Yeah.
That we talk a lot about here at OutKick. Women play sports against women in team sports, and men play sports against men in team sports, and we look at them different, and we don't always have to cross over the two. There doesn't have to be a Venn diagram of man playing sport and woman playing sport. And to take it a step further, Hutton, let's not put men in women's sports, whether it be individual or team competition, yes. And let's just leave them separate and discuss them on their own merits. Because right now, the merits of the women's game is pretty damn good, led by Caitlin Clark. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying watching her. I'm enjoying watching South Carolina women play. Paige Beckers is incredible. This Final Four is an enormous draw. Enjoy it. If you're a fan of women's sports, let's stop with the Venn diagram between the men's game and the women's game and just enjoy the women's game where it is right now. It's at an all-time high. And viewership is going to show that. And the biggest reason why that is, we watched her score 41 points last night. It's Caitlin Clark. It's really simple.
I looked up the Pistons' next three games. It's the worst record in the NBA, okay? Trae Young would draw Caitlin Clark in that matchup. Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose is still in the league.
He plays for the Grizzlies.
Good for him.
And Ben Simmons on the roster for the Nets.
You remember Derrick Rose when he was at Memphis and his ability to guard someone full court when he decided to? Now think about Derrick Rose at his size deciding to muscle up 154-pound Caitlin Clark. It's just...
Reminds me of? It reminds me, Ronda Rousey was running roughshod through the UFC women's division a handful of years ago. And there started to be a clamoring up. This isn't entertaining anymore. You know, it's 30, 45 seconds.
Needs to fight a man
submission.
Now.
And, you know, the pay-per-view, it was a spectacle because she was so good. Well, then Holly Holm came in and beat her ass. And no one started clamoring for Holly Holm to go to the men's division. This reminds me of that same sentiment where there's the domination factor and you're automatically going, oh, just let her go to the NBA. You know, it's Ronda Rousey would even admit, no, I'm not going to fight in the UFC men's division in the bantamweights.
I mean, women's basketball players would admit this to you all the time. Hutton, I sent you a video over the weekend of the Michigan State practice squad playing the Michigan State women's team.
The practice squad.
And it was just a highlight video.
Of dudes.
Yeah, it was all guys, and a lot of women's programs in college have guys practice against them.
Yes.
And the caption was something like, man, it looks like a lot of fun playing for the women's basketball practice squad at Michigan State. And it's a bunch of guys that were out of shape slightly in college just putting up a highlight reel on the Michigan State women's team in practice, left and right. It's so absurd.
Which doesn't take anything away from what is taking place
no.
in the women's tournament.
No.
Or the product right now.
Stupidity bothers me, and this is just really dumb. Well, and it's an awful, awful, dumb opinion. And I want to move on past this because it's taking away from something truly great happening right now with Caitlin Clark and this Iowa women's team. It's so much fun to watch.
And you don't have to be fake with the storyline. That felt so manufactured. Have to go above and beyond to appreciate the storyline that's taking place right now. In the storyline postgame last night, Angel Reese and the LSU Tigers, they fall in this rematch from the national championship after winning last year. And, well, Here's reaction from Angel Reese discussing the negativity and the height of that negativity that she heard from or faced throughout the season.
I don't really get to stand up for myself. I mean, I have great teammates. I have a great support system. I got my hometown. I got my family that stands up for me. I don't really get to speak out on things just because I just try to ignore and I just try to stand strong. Like, I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want to always just know, like, I'm still a human. Like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't had peace since then. And it sucks, but I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything, and I would still sit here and say, like, I'm unapologetically me. I'm going to always leave that mark and be who I am and stand on that. And hopefully the little girls that look up to me, and hopefully I give them some type of inspiration that, no, hopefully it's not this hard and all the things that come at you, but keep being who you are. Keep waking up every day. Keep being motivated, staying who you are, staying 10 toes, don't back down, and just be confident.
The death threats, being sexualized, that is awful. But Angel Reese, absolutely, and then the LSU team, that roster, played into the villain role. And but prior to all of these comments, you have other players that are saying, well, the media will twist this. They call people villains. That doesn't get to Angel Reese. That they use the media and the hate from the media to fuel them throughout the season, based on the reaction of last year going into this year. And there's a lot of pressure with that, too. It's easier to be the favorite than it is the hated. And they were both throughout much of this season and last season. But, Chad, they knew what they were doing. They played into it. Post-games, even this throughout this tournament, Kim Mulkey is playing that role. She's genuine with it. That's her, and she's unapologetic about it, as is Angel Reese. But had they won the game, I don't think the tears are flowing. And I don't know if we hear about that necessarily. But there's always those that are going to be extremely stupid and awful and wrong on social media and beyond. But at 21 years old, Angel Reese, facing a lot of pressure with it, is doing a lot of different things with NIL, rightfully so. I mean, it's perfect for her, that whole structure. But it was her versus Caitlin Clark. And this go-around, Caitlin Clark helped win the game. And at sometimes I did feel like it was a game off the court, too, of who's doing the right thing, who's showing class, who's not. And nowadays, those things can blend together on who is and who isn't. But, Chad, it's not her fault that she's getting death threats. I'm not saying that. But if she's not liked, they're admitting that they used that to fuel the roster, trying to go back-to-back. Not being liked. Everyone loves love. And if you're not, well, you're going to use it as motivation. And they did.
Have you ever had one of those days, like something bad happens, like, you know, you're watching your team play and they lose, or you get bad news at work, or you're frustrated, your car breaks down or something, and then you stub your toe on top of it, and that stubbing of the toe feels like you need to have your leg amputated? It feels so bad because you're frustrated about everything else. I think that's what we're getting a little bit of from Angel Reese here. I think her real frustration is losing. And knowing deep down that those people who rooted against her are celebrating her loss. And emotionally, that's what came out last night. That's how I took it. Because we've all been in a situation where something bad happens, and then that mushrooms into something different. So we're really reacting emotionally to one thing, and then it becomes five other things as you start talking about it or whatever goes on. I think if you're going to live your life on social media, you need to set up some emotional guardrails to it. Because there's good and bad here with Angel Reese. Angel Reese got paid to do this SI swimsuit edition. That's her right to do that. Now, that does not give guys or anyone the right to say awful, crude things to her on social media because she did it. But she did it, right? So that is her sexualizing herself and doing it for money to go in the SI swimsuit edition. So you know some of that's going to come. Again, the people who did it, not excusing that, not the behavior that's needed. She also made $1.8 million, reportedly, in NIL. That's because she has a ton of social media followers. She's very outspoken on social media, and she marketed that to get what she wanted out of it financially. More power to her. That's why NIL exists. Angel Reese, we said a year ago, along with Livy Dunn at LSU, another example right there at the same school. This is the definition of NIL working the way it's supposed to work. It's actually their name, image, likeness right. that they're utilizing to profit from. People are idiots on social media. People are idiots online. Whoever sent a death threat to her should be prosecuted, quite frankly.
Yes.
If someone's saying crude, awful things to her, they should be kicked off the platform. They should be dealt with. However, you need to be dealt with when you're doing stupid things like that. I also think if you're going to market yourself through social media, there has to be some guardrails set up with you emotionally to where you're not seeing someone break down to this level and say they have not been happy since winning a national championship. They reached the pinnacle of their sport a year ago, and they have not been happy in the year since then. So there needs to be a little bit of separation of church and state when it comes to that. And deep down, when I watch Angel Reese and all of this, Hutton, I see someone who cares a lot about her team, cares a lot about her performance, and gives a damn about winning. And I see someone emotional that they lost and their season's over. And I see someone angry that lost, their season's over, and they know that a lot of America has the satisfaction of her losing to Caitlin Clark based on how she celebrated the win over Caitlin Clark a year ago. I think a lot of that came out in that press conference last night.
But she's also saying that she doesn't sound off or she's not able to or the platform. I mean, that's exactly what she did over the last year. I mean, immediately after the championship game, addressing her critics directly post-game, 2023, Reese pointed out the difference between reactions to her poking fun at Clark and Clark poking fun at her and previous opponents. "I don't fit into the box y'all want me to be in. I'm too hood. I'm too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year. When other people do it, y'all don't say nothing. This was for the people that look like me." That's her sounding off. She's had that platform. And they've discussed that post-game throughout the run to the Elite Eight that they just made in trying to make the run back to the national title game. They've had that platform whenever they want it, even on social media, where she's in all caps saying, "I'm not keeping it cute." You know, so like, yes, she's had that platform. And if you're going to do that, there's going to be mixed reaction and you're going to hear from people.
Yeah.
Either way.
I mean, look, I can't control someone's emotional response to something. I'd have preferred that she played the villain throughout.
Well, at 21, it's a mixed bag,
yeah,
too.
But I mean, I, what I'm saying is I would have liked if she just came out and remained defiant. She said,
I'm
unapologetically me. A lot of you can't deal with that. I see a lot of negative stuff and stupid stuff online. Don't care. I am who I am. I'm going to continue to be that. Congrats to Caitlin
right.
Clark. We won our national championship. Now she gets a chance to go win hers at the Final Four, and I'm proud of my teammates and fought as hard as I could. I would have loved a defiant response like that. I don't think she's trying to play victim here, but she's playing the victim here.
Well, and her teammates.
And I think the emotional response to losing
yeah.
is causing her to play the victim, and I do not see Angel Reese as a victim. And some of those statements you're reading right there, Hutton, that's not the voice of a victim.
No.
Last night was the voice of a victim.
Well, and they
in defeat, she sounded like a victim.
Prior to that, her teammates are defending her before she made her statement. And I'll also say she's likely to come back to LSU, I think.
She's going to make more money if she does so.
Well, right now she's a top 10 pick, I believe. But this is the most memorable matchup.
You're going to force me to look at a WNBA mock draft, aren't you?
I heard she's a top 10
projection. You're going to force me to look at one. I'm going to check it out.
But we know who the number one overall pick is, Caitlin Clark. And if she has the chance to be the number one overall pick next year, don't you think that she's going to take that opportunity to come back with the extra COVID year that she could take advantage of and make more money?
I don't know how any star of her caliber in the women's college game would not come back. I am honestly surprised Caitlin Clark, now that I know the boyfriend situation in Indiana, it makes a little bit more sense, but I'm surprised she didn't come back also. I'm looking right now, Hutton, I'm scrolling. Angel Reese projected 7th overall, okay, according to ESPN.
Because last night she declined to declare what she was doing.
To the Minnesota Lynx.
Okay. Who has the number 2 pick?
The number 2 pick goes to the Los Angeles Sparks, Cameron Brink, okay, from Stanford.
There you go.
Number 3 pick, nice. Chicago Sky, Rekaya Jackson from Tennessee. The Sparks, they're loaded with picks. They have the 2nd and 4th pick.
There you go.
In the WNBA draft. The Dallas Wings, did not know this was a team.
The Wings.
Now, I've heard of the other teams. I've never heard of the Dallas Wings. They're 5th. The Washington Mystics, 6th. And then your Minnesota Lynx drafting Angel Reese at 7th overall.
I think she's back, and Clark goes to the Fever. What a year to go to Indiana.
This just in, the Dallas Wings also have 2 picks in the top 10, LA Sparks.
I don't know. John McClain about to join us.
Big time reset for that organization is what I'm hearing.
Yes,
talking to my WNBA people, that's what they keep telling me. Watch out for the Wings. That's what they keep saying.
Where is Drake May in all of the draft discussion? I've heard about J.J. McCarthy. Now we're hearing about Jaden Daniels. Of course, Caleb Williams. Drake May, he's supposedly a top 5 pick.
Crickets.
Where is the discussion of Drake May? John McClain helps us find out. But next, you're on Hot Mic.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Sixth and Peabody, our location. Yeehaw Beer, Old Smoky Moonshine, Hot Mic, Hutton Withrow. Outkick.com is where you can find the show. Outkick.com/watch. Click the watch tab. Easy to find there. YouTube as well. You can subscribe to the channel for clips, videos, highlights, and more. John McClain joins us. Talking to NFL and more to prove it. John, how about LSU and Iowa and the women's game last night?
Well, guys, I've been a big women's basketball fan since Kim Mulkey won her first national championship at Baylor. She won 3. I hated to see her go. I was pulling for her, but I also like Iowa and Caitlin Clark, and I just love the game, the way they play. And something, they take their NIL deals with them. I read a deep dive on Caitlin Clark, why she would go to the WNBA when she can make so much money in college. Well, she takes all that money with her. Nobody's going to drop her, and others will come in as well. So she's going to make even more. Angel Reese won't make as much as Caitlin Clark, but the ones that she's got, and I've seen estimates that she's got at least $3 million NIL deals since LSU won last year's national champion. So even though they make very little money when it comes to salary, they still get paid off the court. And I thought it was a great performance by Clark. I was kind of hoping it would be UConn, but I had no problem with USC. And Juju Watkins will be the face of women's ball for the next couple of years. But I can't wait to that Final Four. They may outdraw the men. First time in history, 2 programs have had both teams in their Final Four.
Yeah, it's been fun to follow. And you're right, John, in that the women's game, it lends itself to more of what the NCAA envisioned with NIL and actual sponsorship deals and not just pay for play. I would think, though, that for Iowa, it would be worth it to get with whatever collective they have and double the WNBA's first-round pick offer to pay for play and keep all of her endorsements with all the companies we see her do commercials for also. That might be the rare exception because of how much money she's worth to Iowa if she were to come back and play another season.
No, it's not just Iowa. It's what she is for college basketball. You know, the TVs, the networks – would love for her to come back. Gamblers would love for her to come back, but it sounds like she's ready to test her skill at the next level. And I hate it when I hear people say she's got to be win a championship to be considered great or the greatest of all. The advantage that she has right now that some of the great women players didn't was social media, more attention on women's basketball than there used to be. And they haven't gotten so many new fans. So I can't wait for the Final Four. Can't wait for the men too, but it's a great time for college basketball.
John, we can tie this into football and all of your years covering the league. What also leads to this being great is the rivalry, and the rivalry between her and Angel Reese. You do need the rivalry to go up, to take everything up a notch. If everything was just nice, it'd be a great story, and she would be the great player. She would be elite, but the eyeballs are there for the drama. The post-game drama matters too. It just, in your years, what's the rivalries that come to mind that really elevate a player based on performance? Because in the rivalry moment, she showed up in the clutch moments and put up 41 points.
Well, there have been some great rivalries in sports. Usually it's teams. But when I think of players, the NBA was almost dead in 1979 when Bird and Magic came into the NBA. And they took it, not only breathed new life into it, took it to a whole different level to now where the franchise is worth billions. But that's one that jumped out at me. In the old days, you would have quarterbacks going against it, teams going against it. But this is one of the best I've seen. And had Caitlin Clark chose to come back, somehow they could have played USC. Imagine the attention she and Juju Watkins would have gotten, because Watson plays in the second biggest media market in the country.
Yes.
John, what did you make of the Kim Mulkey, quote-unquote, hit piece, as she described it, in the Washington Post, that Kent Babb worked on for 2 years before publishing?
That's a classic case. You ought to read it before you start commenting on it. The Washington Post should send her a gift basket, because as someone who has followed her career closely, there wasn't anything new in there that I didn't know. She carries a grudge. Everybody in Waco knows she carries a grudge. They know she's tough on the players. They know about her and Brittany Griner. The one thing I didn't know was the stuff about her father being estranged for 37 years because he left her mother and the kids for another woman. But that's who Kim Mulkey is. The one that I thought was a hit piece was the column in the LA Times, which the columnist has apologized publicly for. That's the one that I thought was bad.
John McClain with us. John, I mentioned before you joined us about Drake May. Where is the discussion of Drake May? It's very cyclical, but here we are. I'm talking about the coverage of the quarterbacks here. But here we are leading up to, we're in the month of the NFL draft, and I hear about the other three, including J.J. McCarthy, who we hit on last week, and not about Drake May, who, when you sit down and talk to the guy, the quotes are amazing. He's got to be a great interview for teams to get to know him. Why is he more or less in the shadows when he could be a top three pick in this draft?
I think he's going to be a top three pick. He'll either go second or third. And one of the things that I'd like to point out about May, the year after the 2022 season, when he emerged as a great quarterback prospect for Mac Brown said publicly that a school had offered him, big one, $5 million, come to that school, and he turned it down. And I think that says a lot about him. Doesn't mean he's not getting a lot of money from North Carolina, but to turn down a big school with a chance to maybe showcase himself more than he could at North Carolina last season. But there's nothing not to like. Rick Goslin, a longtime NFL writer who's as good on the draft as anybody I've ever seen, had a column this week I retweeted twice about quarterbacks. Now, there are exceptions to these rules, but he pointed out what Bill Parcells used to say about starts and how he wanted a guy to be a three-year starter. Now, you're not always going to get it, so Rick broke it down to passes. How many passes did quarterbacks attempted? And 1,300 was a good number and a sign of a better chance of success. J.J. McCarthy, I think, had 717. McCarthy is a classic case of what's wrong with the NFL. they saw every play he had at Michigan. They'd be like, oh, Mino, Jim Harbaugh didn't let him throw the football. Yeah, he threw it 717 times. But I think what's gotten him, he looked great in his underwear, and his stock keeps going up. And the fact that Harbaugh constantly says how great he is, greatest combine workout, it's because Harbaugh wants quarterbacks go top four, so he'll be in the best shape possible. That one's easy to see.
I look at the NFL mock drafts, and they're, you know, John, you would do one and update it every single time, and rightfully so. You have to keep it moving. But it seems like a draft, if you don't need a quarterback, if you're the Raiders or the Saints or, you know, potentially the Broncos, if they don't make a move, the Jets, the Bears, maybe the Falcons or Titans, with the offensive tackles, wide receivers falling because of the quarterback discussion, this could be a rare situation where if you're in the teens, you're getting a really good player, despite normally there's, what, 18 to 20 truly first-round graded players that enter the NFL each year.
A great example of that is a team like the Titans. We all know the Titans need an offensive tackle, and they'd love to have a great playmaker. I think Rand Carthon's going to have a choice of two. And then he's going to have to come to Callahan. And fortunately for the Titans, they have a great offensive line coach. Now, do you take the wide receiver? See, you got a shot at Roma Dunze,
right,
who's a great prospect. And I remember Al Davis used to say, I want guys who can score touchdowns first. And you fill in the other positions. And so do they take a guy who would be great for Will Levis in his second season, and then say, well, we've got a great offensive line coach in Bill Callahan. He'll make it work. We'll get a lineman later. And it's a deep draft for offensive linemen. They may get a first rounder in the second round. And so do you take Joe Alt if he's there, if the Chargers haven't taken him, because they're always talking about all these quarterbacks going, which benefits the Chargers. Does he take Joe Alt? Does he take, say, Roma Dunze? That is a difficult decision, but you can't go wrong.
Final thing for you. Do you buy any of the discussion that the Cardinals could be shopping Kyler Murray potentially to Minnesota?
Now, why would Minnesota trade for Kyler Murray? I mean, what has Kyler Murray done in the NFL other than get a great contract? And what they should do is package those two ones and then a pick next year to move up to get one of those quarterbacks. But I don't think the top three teams are going to trade out. Maybe Arizona will because there's so many good receivers. But no, I don't. They may be shopping him, but I do not see Minnesota drafting him.
And
trading for him.
Trading for him, okay. And Rashee Rice, they're looking into this six or seven car accident where he's driving the Chevy, I believe, in this, and it doesn't stop. He's got the Corvette.
There's a Lamborghini involved, too.
Yeah, and there's dash cams here. When are we see stories like this in Athens, in Georgia, with Speedy? When are we going to have a culture that doesn't want to drive as fast as what we're seeing, especially in this incident where we have it on camera, and it's just crazy to me. Motorcycles pass us all the time going who knows how fast. You have a death wish if you're doing this.
There's idiots all over the country. They're in Athens. They're in Dallas. We had a guy right here in Houston the other day. He was surfing on the hood of a car going 80, screaming faster and faster. They hit a car, airborne, DOA.
Yeah, that's just nuts to me, man. John.
We got that need for speed.
Yeah, I guess.
Fast and the Furious movies.
You know, the bad thing about Rashee Rice and his guys, they just got out of their cars, walked away, didn't check on the people they created, didn't ask if anybody was okay. And I hope they throw the book at those guys for being such dumbasses.
Yes, I'm right there with you, John.
Amen, John.
John, you're no dumbass.
No.
We always love when you come on. We appreciate the visit each week.
Bit of a smartass at times, but not a dumbass. Yeah.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John McClain, the Hall of Famer.
One of the best.
In the Pro Football Hall
of
Fame.
One of the very best.
He's the man. Also one of the best. Dane Bradshaw.
Yes.
we break down the Final Four with Dane Bradshaw. Knows the SEC well. There's one team representing, and I'm stunned by it, Chad, that Bama made it.
Well, his former team, his university, was very close to getting to their first, yes. So we'll ask him about that, too.
And the need for UConn and Purdue. That's next. You're on Hot Mic.